might have thought of
a similar thing that I not always but frequently think of when we sing that song. Is there any particular evangelist or meetings that comes to mind when you hear that? Okay, then must. Right. Billy Graham, he uses that. And if you've ever seen any of his crusades on TV, they show, I think they're called classics. And I make no endorsement of his compromise, and I believe he has some. I make no endorsement of his wrong teaching, and I believe he has some. But you know, when you see the hundreds, even in some stadiums, thousands that respond. Now, many, many of them, I do not believe, get saved. They are responding from whatever basis, emotion, the influence of another person, I don't know. But there are some who do get saved. And you know why they get saved? In spite of Dr. Graham's compromise, in spite of the teachings that he has that are not scriptural, and they get saved because of the Word of God. Amen. And the fact that they have indeed believed what the Word says. Amen. And for those, I am grateful. Sadly, many who went forward have prayed a prayer and may have been very sincere, but they did not understand. And now, indeed, they could be living greatly misled, okay, thinking that because they went forward and prayed that everything's okay. And we don't endorse any of that. But I do have a brother. That's all I have, just one brother, just the two of us. He's 10 years older than I am. And he got saved at the 1957 New York Crusade. Okay? 1957, Billy Graham Crusade. Is that where it was? Okay. Okay, and he is saved. And I know he's saved. And I've met some others through the years. And so, you know, whenever I sing that, just as I am, I can just hear the thousands of people singing it, you know. And I can rejoice in what's right about that.
That's right.
Though I am very grieved by what's wrong. Yes.
Louis Zamperini got saved under him, the guy from...
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He did. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's just a little extra. The Moffett Railroad Tunnel was built between 1923 and 1927. Now, I can't hear this as much. Is it loud enough? Can you all hear it? Dick, can you hear it well enough?
Barely.
Okay. Okay, I'll let you set it up. Usually I hear it more than I am.
I think your mic isn't quite underneath you, but don't meddle. Just keep talking.
All right. I will keep talking. There, that's getting up there. The Moffett Railroad Tunnel, built between 1923 and 1927. It cuts through the Continental Divide. Thank you, Pastor. In the north central part of Colorado. That tunnel, railroad tunnel, is 6 to 7 miles long. One group of men started on the west side, another group of men started on the east side, and working toward each other with explosives, jackhammers, sledgehammers, sweating men laid ribbons of steel through that newly made tunnel. It was completed without the variation of an inch. A amazing. Behind all of the work was the genius and the skill of master builders. I'm preaching tonight on 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. If you'd like to turn to it, you might want to put a ribbon or a gum wrapper or something in there as a marker. Don't put your gum in there. That won't work good. But if you have the wrapper, you could put it in there. Don't tear a little piece off of a hymn book either, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hidden in the depths of trial and trouble, perversity and sorrows, can you trust the providence of an almighty master builder of your life? Can you believe that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, is true for you? Not just that it's true, but it's true for you. Can you face the disappointments, the mistreatments, the persecutions, and all the rest of the ugliness that may come, confident that a master builder is at work in your life? Not in other people's, but in your life. And that he will complete your life without any variation from his plan. 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for I know, if this sermon title were to be printed in the bulletin, that's what it would be. I know certainty. When you say no, it's certainty in an uncertain world. Oh my goodness, listen to the news, whether on radio or television or read it in print, and it's an uncertain world. Can you say, I know? Do you want to say, I know? The verse says, I know whom I have believed. Whom? It's a person. Not what I believe. Though what you believe is important. But the Apostle Paul here, when he has certainty, it's about whom he has believed. Amen. And it says, I know whom I have believed. Perhaps you have believed in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've believed on Jesus Christ. And that is necessary for you to believe in Jesus, to believe on Christ. I'm turning quickly to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 15, I read that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 16, of course, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And then finally, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So in those four verses, We read about believing in Christ and believing on Christ, and that is necessary for salvation. But listen to me. Don't miss this. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it is necessary that you believe Christ for assurance.
Amen.
You believe in him and on him for salvation, but if you want certainty, if you want to be able to say, I know, then what you must do is believe him.
That's right. That's good, brother. Yes, sir.
He says in verse 12 that he was persuaded. For I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded. Now there's another word of certainty.
That's right.
He was persuaded. How does one get to be persuaded? Persuasion is an inner assurance. There's a saying, I may not get it exactly right, but a man convinced against his will is unconvinced still.
Amen.
Okay? So you do not get the persuasion, the certainty that's needed because of what some other man or woman has told you, but you get it because of what God tells you.
That's good.
And the Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded because I know whom I have believed. Now, at some point in his life on the road to Damascus, he believed on Jesus. He met Christ there. He believed in Christ. But his assurance came because he believed God. And that's how your assurance will come as well. It's when you believe God that God will work in you.
Right.
That certainty. It is an inner assurance, not persuaded by people, but by God.
Amen.
This book, the scriptures, the Bible, do you accept it as God's word? You can answer yes. Do you trust and depend on what it says for you? You see, you can believe that the Bible is God's word, but not trust it for what it can do for you. You may know other people for whom it has done much, and you may long that it would do much for you. And it will. When you say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. Salvation is one thing, a very necessary thing. Not just necessary, it's vitally essential. But God wants you to have assurance. Do you believe this book is true for you? Now let's go back to the railroad tunnel. East and West met, and there was not a variation of an inch. Now, does that mean there was maybe a variation of a half inch? I don't know. I wondered the same thing, but I don't know. But the master builder of our lives, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty himself, will end our lives without any variation. And this you can know, that he which hath begun a good work in you will what? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that for you? Or do you just believe that's a truth because it's in the Bible? Do you believe for your life when everything seems to be going wrong? When no matter what you do, just seems to fall apart? That there's a master builder at work. You see, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The word temptation has two sides to it. One is a solicitation to do wrong. The other is a testing to see how you're going to do right.
Good.
And there hath no test taken you. Listen, what we experience may seem unique to us because it's our lives. It's my hurt. It's my grief. It's my agony. What this Bible tells us, there are multiplied, by this point in time, we can say millions of believers who have experienced the same thing.
That's right.
So in today's terminology, we would say, it's almost unkind to say it, but you see, there's a lot of things you can say using Bible words, and it's so eloquent. It doesn't sometimes have the same impact on us. God's word would tell us, quit your whining. God knows. Go back and read the Psalms. Listen, when you're going through troubles, read the Psalms. And where it talks about a person who was an enemy, you can put in the circumstance that you're dealing with that's a problem to you. Be it finances, be it marital relationships, be it a parental problem, be the neighbor. Okay? I mean, you can put your circumstance in there. When David says that there were those who would take his kingdom from him, that there are circumstances that are trying to rob you of God's peace. You can go to God. Because God says what you're being tested with, others have. And David's a classic example of a man who comes through okay. I mean, look at that scoundrel. Now, I know at one place God calls him a man after his own heart. But that's not the approach that Nathan the prophet took. When he confronted him about his adultery and his murder, that's what I mean by David was a scoundrel. But there was a master architect of his life. And because David, he didn't resist God. He yielded to God. Now that doesn't mean we don't know how, you know, like God spoke to his heart. So do we get the picture that as soon as God spoke to his heart, David said, oh, that's right, God, I know I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry. Or do you think maybe he tried to persist? You know, he had an old nature just like you have.
That's right.
And why wouldn't his old nature react like our old nature reacts? Remember the old and the new? There was a lot of times he was feeding the old.
Right.
Oh, big time. But eventually he came to the point where he fed the new. That's when he repented. That's when he finally admitted to God, look, my way of dealing with this isn't working. He said to God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He said, this is the pits. You say, that's, yeah, that's in the Hebrew translation.
That's not my
okay. This is the pits. This isn't working. God, I need you to work.
Yes.
And he did. But you see, do you believe it is true for you? Here it is, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Did you receive him? According to that promise, he would make you a son of his. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Did you believe in him? Then he promised you would have eternal life. John 10:9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, God said, he shall be saved. You say, are you trying to talk me into assurance? No, but I am trying to talk you into believing God.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
And not your own
yes.
skepticism. When you received him, did you mean it? You say, yeah, I meant it all five times I did it. And I still didn't have assurance. No, I would say you didn't mean it all five times. Either that, or you don't believe God. What was Paul persuaded about? Look at it in verse 12. That he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able to keep that. Well, what was it that Paul committed to him? Committed his soul to him. Committed his life to him. Now, Paul knew that when he did that, that's what he meant. Do you keep giving him your life and then take it back by not believing Christ? Do you give him your life and you say, as God is my witness in all that is me, I gave it to him. Let me ask this. Why would you be unpersuaded? See, I can't answer it. I have no illustration even of it. That's very personal. The Apostle Paul said that I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I gave him. And so if you're unpersuaded, what you need to do is identify why you are unpersuaded. What I'm challenging you to do is see if that unpersuasion is because you actually don't believe God. The song that we sang, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Did you? And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Is that what you were seeking? You see, it's one thing just to seek God because things in life are not going right. And you want an escape from what's not going right. The conviction of God that leads to repentance is not just being sorry for the mess of life, but for life that is dead in trespasses and sin. And therefore, you go to God to rid your soul of one dark blot. Now listen, when I was 15 years old, and I responded to an invitation, and I had I guess he was a deacon, I don't know who he was some person of importance at the church, they didn't let just anybody do that. He took me in a side room, and he showed me in the Bible, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sin. I didn't know all that was going on. Very little that was going on. But I believe that what the evangelist said, that God's word says I was lost and headed to hell, I believe that was true.
Amen.
And I believe that God said he'd forgive me and save me, and that's what happened. Now, I didn't understand that he was going to rid my soul of one dark blot. Good night, at 15 years of age, I didn't even know I had a dark blot. I knew something wasn't right. I knew something was definitely wrong in my life, because I knew the kind of life I lived. I know what I wanted to do and liked to do and shouldn't do and did anyway. Just as I am, though, tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. That struggle describes a lot of people. Poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in him to find. I read that verse describing somebody who, unlike a teenager who didn't know anything, they may have lived life and they saw what life doesn't do and they saw what it does do, and the sheer ruin that it brings and the turmoil and trouble. Poor, wretched, blind. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. I wonder how many people who come, because they think that finally I've gotten my life in order, I can now come, I can come to God. No, we can't straighten out our life to come to God. We come just as we are. But then notice the last line of that song. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. The Apostle Paul was able to say, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Why? Because he believed God. If you have done your part, why wouldn't God do his? Now, you've got to let God give you peace. We can't create it. No, I can't create it for you, and you can't create it for yourself. But listen to me. Let God create it. Let God create it. 2 Timothy 1:12 is possible for all who believe. And there are those here tonight who would be able to stand and testify with Paul. I know whom I have believed. And even though not everything is the way I would like it to be or it ought to be, I know whom I have believed. You see, Paul said that even though Paul had an old nature. Paul's the one who taught us about the new nature and the old nature. He knew about the struggle that goes on in living in this life. He's the one who said that by faith I live the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's the one who said that. Don't confuse the problems of your old nature with the assurances God would give you. Say, are you trying to talk me into my salvation? No, I'm just trying to keep you from working against yourself.
Right.
I don't understand. Well, welcome to the club. You're not alone. I'm just glad that the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I wonder if Paul ever said, I wonder if I really believed. We can't imagine that, can we? And you know why? Because we've put Paul up here on a pedestal that he doesn't want to be on. He's a man like we are men. Now, he nevertheless had certainties far beyond what perhaps ours can be. And somewhere between the fact that he's a man who lived in a world like... He was a tent maker, right? Now, he was so intense. If his needle broke, you think he said, oh, praise the Lord, my needle broke. No, I don't imagine that. But neither do I imagine him picking up the spool of whatever he sewed with and throw it down and say, blankety blank blank blank. No, he did that. Do you? No, I don't either. You see what I'm trying to get at? Don't make yourself worse than you are. Now don't try and make yourself better than you are. God gave the Holy Spirit to balance that whole affair out. But somewhere in all of this, God has for you and I what he had for Paul. Say, I'm not sure I understand all that. Well, there it is. Take the wheat, leave the chaff, okay? Meditate on the parts that seem to be helpful to you, and then just ask God to put all the rest of it together.
Amen.
You see? There are some things I might explain to, you know, clarify for you, but listen, I'm trying to get it together in my whole life. Okay? Boy, what I gotta end. That there's a verse where Paul says that I've fought a good fight, I've run the race, I've finished my course. Well, we're all still running. Okay, we're all still running. And when you run, you get tired. Okay. All right. That's enough. We'll leave it at that.
Amen.
Prayer requests. On Tuesday coming,